Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. I am Rob West. We all want our kids to mature and become wise stewards of God's resources. Younger generations need training to do that. I'll give you some lessons for young adults today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, some of the lessons we'll talk about today can be taught to younger children, but by the time they're adults, they should have all these down pat. It's sometimes too early, but never too late to teach your children how to manage money wisely. So today, I want to focus on teaching your older kids who are in or nearing adulthood, because they may have missed a lesson along the way. Now, this is especially important because a recent financial literacy survey by the TIAA Institute found that Americans age 18 to 29 scored the lowest of any age group. Only about 40% of these young adults answered money-related questions correctly. That's disturbing, but your family doesn't have to be part of that statistic if you pass along several important lessons. Two of the most important are, first, that God owns everything, including ourselves. Psalm 24:1 reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And second, God is our provider. Everything we have is a gift from Him, including and especially our salvation. James 1:17 tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Grasping those two truths will enable your child to trust in God to provide and to give cheerfully out of gratitude. More on that in a minute. Now, some lessons about managing money wisely, and they begin with teaching the value of work, whether that's studying for school or earning money on a job. Work is not punishment. It was ordained by God before the fall. Genesis 2:15 reads, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden as its gardener to tend and care for it." You never want to express the idea that work is punishment, but rather as an opportunity given by God to earn money. Children who've reached adulthood and are not still in school should work outside the home and contribute to household expenses. You probably aren't helping them by allowing them to live at home and not contribute. Remind them that all work has value and is profitable, that God is their real boss, and that they should always conduct themselves in ways that honor the Lord. Now, the next lesson they need to learn is that living on a budget is essential for wise money management. Everyone needs to budget, and the less money you make, the more important it is to have a spending plan. Young adults should have zero trouble downloading the FaithFi app to help them set up a spending plan. They can just look for FaithFi in their app store. That's Faith, F-I. The next lesson is to ABS, always be saving. A budget will help your young adult cut expenses or maybe increase income, so there's something left over each month. If he or she can't learn to live on less than they make, they'll always be in debt, which is our next lesson. Teach them that debt is not a sin, but that Proverbs 22:7 teaches that the borrower is slave to the lender. This lesson should not be limited to credit cards. Student loans are a huge problem for young adults entering the workforce. They need to borrow as little as possible for college. Living beyond one's means and running up debt is presuming on the future that you'll have enough money later to pay it off. But Proverbs 19:21 warns, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Debt may also be a sign that one is discontent with God's provision and is ungrateful. But Philippians 4:19 reads, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, our last lesson for young adults, but certainly not least, is about giving. They may be just entering or new to the workforce or struggling financially. I get that. But generosity is an essential part of Christian life and can't be ignored. So encourage your young adult to be a percentage giver to his or her local church. Giving is an act of worship. And as Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. Giving with open hands breaks the power that money can have over us and strengthens our relationship with Jesus. Okay, those are your lessons for young adults. I hope you find them useful. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Snowball fights. They're part of the rite of passage in northern places. Kids of all ages take to their yards on snowy days. Sometimes it seems like an entire neighborhood is gathered together, and before you know it, you're at war. Little balls of frozen water flying everywhere, and you don't want to be out in the open. You need a fortress or a shield, something to hide behind. That's true in life, too. But we can be thankful we have the Lord. This is what David had to say in Psalm 7. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright at heart. If you're trusting in Jesus, this applies to you, too. God is your shield. Hide behind Him. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Isaiah says, we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we study war anymore. And I believe that day is definitely coming, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will bring us prosperity, harmony, but that's not the world we live in yet.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, great to have you today, with us today, I should say, on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and it's time to perhaps turn the corner and take your question on anything financial, although I would love to hear from you specifically on our opening topic as well. If you have a thought or an idea, maybe you found a way to prepare your own kids to launch as adults with a healthy understanding of financial literacy and God's heart as it relates to money. Maybe you have a very practical idea you'd like to share with us today on how you prepared your kids in this area of financial stewardship. We'd love to hear from you. If you have an idea or a thought, share it with us. 800-525-7000. We're also taking your questions on anything financial as well today. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, I think the big idea when we think about preparing our kids to be future adults is, in fact, this starting point of making sure they understand God's heart as it relates to money, alongside the financial literacy that they need as well. One of the acronyms, if you will, that the former host of this program, my good friend Howard Dayton, likes to use when it comes to kids is MVP. We want to be MVP parents. And MVP stands for model verbal communication and practical examples. So what is modeling? Well, more is caught than taught. So we need to model good, responsible financial stewardship, starting with living on a spending plan. Your kids need to know that money is finite, that God provides to us. It all comes from Him, and we live within that by having a plan, a budget, and we stay within that month to month. We can't just spend frivolously because we won't be able to accomplish our long-term goals and objectives. Well, making that a part of the normal conversation that they see that, okay, there's a certain amount in each of these categories, and we're going to stick within that. We actually turned the eating out portion of our budget over to our kids 1 month a while back. It was a lot of fun to watch them wrestle through those decisions so that they could figure out how to allocate that money. And so they sat around the kitchen table negotiating with one another. It was quite humorous on how they were going to spend that money throughout the course of the month. And they were saying, okay, we're going to give up this time to eat out after church because we want to do this on Friday night. And they kind of had to work together in order to come up with the plan, but they quickly realized the money wouldn't go as far as they wanted to. They weren't going to be able to, or we weren't going to be able to eat out as many times in the month as they wanted. And they were also having to look at the price tag of the restaurants they were choosing. Well, that's just an example of how they can begin to understand this idea of a spending plan and limited resources. So that's modeling. Second is verbal communication. You've got to be talking about it on a regular basis, that God owns it all, and that one of the ways we work out our stewardship and our faith journey is through our financial decisions and living with contentment and giving generously. That needs to be a part of the conversation in your house. And then MVP, practical examples. Find practical ways to demonstrate that. A great way to model generosity. I love when parents give their kids a certain amount at a birthday or a Christmas, and the only objective is for them to give it away. But here's the catch. They have to write a letter back to mom and dad or their grandparents telling them what they did with it and explaining how it made them feel when they were able to give this money away. Well, that's a practical way to share this idea of generosity and the joy that comes with giving. So are you an MVP parent? Maybe you can lean into this idea of modeling and verbal communication and practical examples when it comes to raising our kids. All right, we want to take your phone calls today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Give us a call now. Let's head to Virginia. Diane, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Well, this is a little bit complicated, and I'll try to make it as clear as I can. We have two rental houses that we've had for about 10 years. We are in our 70s now, and we're trying to think of an exit plan. And I called you last week and asked about a 1031 tax exchange.
Yeah.
And you seemed to think that the plan I had was fine. I recently saw a YouTube popped up on my computer talking about an impending market crash, worse than the one we just experienced a few years back. And he substantiated this allegation that builders, and he had a map of the U.S., showing how builders have built so many units and homes, and that people were now, 60% of them were saying that they had to renege on their contract to buy because they couldn't afford it. The building prices are going up. People are losing their jobs. Inflation is impacting their bottom line. So people aren't able to afford what they used to. And so therefore, because of the glut on the market, we would see prices come down. So here I am. I have a renter moving out January 31st. I was planning to rent the house for another year and a half about until the other rental house comes up for the termination of its rent to own. And they would either buy that house or it would come back to us. So I might have two properties in June 2023. Right now I have flexibility on the first one. Do I continue to rent it for another year? Or should I try to sell that one so that I cut my losses if the market crashes?
Yeah, interesting question. Well, Diane, I would take issue with the assessment you're seeing there on YouTube. You know, a lot of times these are folks that are just using this as clickbait. They're often trying to sell a program or a product that they want you to enroll in. I have no idea what the intent was of this particular individual, but, you know, this is often the case. The reality is, if you look at the data and, you know, reputable analysts that track the housing market, you will find a consistent theme, and that is that we have a nationwide housing shortage of between 2 and 6 million newly built homes, and they're not expecting that to change a good bit anytime soon. The reason is, number one, we've got a lot of folks moving out of densely populated urban areas to more suburban areas because more folks are able to work remotely, and so they don't have to be in, you know, packed downtown areas. We've also got the millennials that are reaching, you know, age 30, and they're having kids and moving into single family homes. As a result of that, this is not a parallel right now to what we saw in 2008 in 2009, it's an entirely different situation as to why housing prices are what they are. Back then, there were systemic problems related to easy credit, with folks getting access to credit that they shouldn't have and they couldn't qualify for, and it had to do with bank reserves and just leniency in lending. That's not the case today. The bank reserves are very healthy. Those lending standards have changed. And again, we do have quite a bit of a housing shortage here. And for all of those reasons, even though the affordability clearly has gone in the wrong direction with higher interest rates and a potential recession coming, that still doesn't change the fact that, you know, no one is predicting a crash, or I would say most reputable analysts are not predicting a crash in the housing market by any means, because we have an entirely different set of circumstances here in the United States versus what we had in 08 and 09. So I think you're in pretty, you know, strong position here. I like real estate as an asset class. I think it will continue to do well. Even if we were to hit a recession this year, most folks are predicting maybe a 5 to 6% decline, or it could be that we just taper off the growth, but we really don't see any decline. So I think for all of those reasons, if it were me, I'd stay on the path that you're on. And I would chalk what you saw last week up to somebody who's just trying to get you to respond to an internet video. That's just my take on it. I've got to take a break, Diane. We'll talk a little bit more off the air. Your phone calls just around the corner, 800-525-7000. Give us a call.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, as we look at handling God's money, we want to be wise stewards and generous sowers. What does that mean? Well, wise stewards, faithfully managing God's resources over a long period of time, applying the wisdom from God's word to our financial decisions and choices every day, and generous sowers, partnering with God, taking a portion of what He's entrusted to us and reinvesting it in God's economy, demonstrating that we understand He is our provider and therefore we can give it away because He will continue to provide for us. That's one of His promises in His word, but also because He wants us to experience the joy that comes from blessing others and being involved in supporting our local churches and those on our path that are in need, and ministries here in our communities and around the world that are doing great work in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's our opportunity, generous sowers and faithful stewards, and living in the tension of asking God what He would have for us in each of those areas, I think is one of the ways He matures us and grows us up as we work out our financial decisions each day. Well, we gather together on this program to talk about that and apply biblical wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making. So, what are you thinking about financially today? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Diane, and she was reflecting on some recent footage she had seen on a YouTube video about perhaps whether the housing market might be, rather than continuing to increase, taking a nosedive. And we were talking about the housing shortage that continues in this country and doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon, not to mention the fact that we're in a completely different situation today with regard to the availability of credit and banking reserves than we were in 08 and 09. So we see the housing market continuing to stay strong, even though certainly we've experienced a cooling in light of the recessionary environment we're in and interest rates. Diane, did all of that make sense? And do you have any follow-up questions?
Oh, yes, that made a lot of sense. The thing that I'm thinking ahead of is, you know, you are talking about giving. And so we certainly, we have a revised fund. We're giving portions of our fund to all the charitable causes, and yeah, now through our RMD, we're doing the same.
Great.
I was wondering if, you know, when we do a 1031 tax exchange requires like-kind property, so we know,
right,
we have to do something that we would rent out for a while. So we downsized once. We probably want to downsize again. I don't know, would it be more beneficial for me to continue to try to manage these rentals? I think my husband's got some health issues, and it would be on me to do this, or would, yeah, it be more beneficial for me to get a property management,
yeah,
or sell them in that 1031 that I plan for next June?
Yeah, so obviously several options here. You know, I like real estate moving forward, but you're right. It is a more hands-on type of investment, one that if you're increasingly going to have to spend time, you know, with care for your husband, or you're just going to have less time available, perhaps he was a part of this and no, now he's no longer going to be, you know, you've got to factor that in. The good news is this is not new for you all, so you know what you're getting into. And I think that's the first decision is, are we ready to kind of re-up in this type of investment where, you know, I've got to do quite a bit of work? The second option is just what you said, stay in real estate as an asset class, because I know you all already have stocks and bonds. And so this is a way to diversify your investment holdings, but hire a property management company where you're going to pay them to market the property, keep it rented, deal with all the maintenance issues and the things that come up in the middle of the night that, you know, have to be attended to and so forth. Obviously, an extra expense and an added layer of complexity, because now you have to relate to them and go out and find that company and hopefully find one that you're happy with. But certainly it could take a load off you. The third option is then to say, you know what, we're going to move to more passive type investments and either boost our investment holdings in stocks and bonds according to your age and goals and objectives, or maybe we're going to move to a more conservative posture with this portion of our money and do a CD ladder or, you know, something that is more safe and secure, but, you know, takes a lesser return. As you think through it, Diane, what do you feel like is the best fit, just knowing the season of life you're in and what's coming?
Well, I don't think I personally am comfortable putting more into stocks and bonds.
Okay.
I don't think I want the hassle of handling it myself. So I'm thinking, I don't know really what you're talking about when you say CD. What was that? CD
ladder? A CD ladder. Basically, what that means is we would just, you know, stack CDs on top of each other. So you could have like a 1 year CD, a 2 year CD, and a 3 year CD, maybe a third, a third, a third. And then every year you'd roll those over to take advantage of higher rates. Plus, that would give you a liquidity event every year that if you wanted to do something with a portion of that money, you could take it and redirect it elsewhere. So it's just a way to try to maximize the rates on these CDs, but have a tranche of it coming due every 12 months so you can get access to it.
Right. Okay. I'm familiar with that. I just wasn't familiar with the term. The problem that always lurks in the back of my mind is this runaway inflation. If you put something in a CD, it's like, or if you put it in a savings account, I mean, inflation is going to eat away at it.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's why, fortunately, we have some higher interest rates that are available today, which is going to help. Inflation clearly, I mean, we just got another reading last week, is clearly coming down. The work that the Fed's doing quite aggressively to control the monetary supply and reduce the monetary supply, but also to raise interest rates dramatically has really gone to curb this runaway inflation. And they've indicated that they're not going to stop, even if it puts us into a more severe recession, until they get it down near their target. Now, they may not be able to get it back to 2% where it's been and where they would like it to be, but clearly less than 4%. And so I think for that reason, you know, you're going to see this as a temporary phenomenon. And that's where with higher interest rates and CDs and cash equivalents or conservative investments like high quality bonds, whether those are governments or corporate, plus maybe a smaller allocation to high quality stocks, dividend paying stocks, you can overcome inflation and not take a lot of risk with a volatile portfolio. So hopefully that gives you some things to think about, Diane. Hey, let me also throw one other thing out. Don't forget, you can transfer a portion of these properties into your donor advised fund to miss the capital gains if you're going to sell. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries.
I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a frequent contributor on CNBC and Fox Business, and his weekly Dahl's Deliberations is a sought-after weekly market commentary. He joins us each Monday on the broadcast to give us a look at the week ahead and talk about what transpired the week prior in the markets and the economy. We'll look forward to Bob's insightful analysis coming up in the next segment. Again, phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. We'll go to Virginia. Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, sir. I thought I heard recently it said on your program that it's now possible to make a charitable contribution, i.e. 501c3, whatever, from our TSP without the tax penalty. Is that so? Because I've met with Impasse trying to do exactly that.
I see. Yeah. Not quite. So once you get it out of the TSP into an IRA, that's when you can do what's called a qualified charitable distribution, which would mean you'd have to separate from service, which gives you the opportunity then to roll that TSP, thrift savings plan, out to an individual retirement account that's not a taxable event. And then at that point, you could initiate a qualified charitable distribution, which would, once you're age 72, that would allow you to satisfy any required minimum distributions, but also give directly to your charity or ministry of choice, thereby not adding it to your adjusted gross income and hopefully allowing you to give a little bit more away. But it can't come directly from that TSP, Robert.
Is there any taxation in the transfer from the TSP to the IRA?
No, sir. That's not a taxable event because that's going from a tax-deferred TSP plan to a tax-deferred individual retirement account. So as long as you use a traditional IRA to roll it to, that is not going to be a taxable event. The only taxation comes when you pull it out as a distribution to yourself. So if you were to take a withdrawal or what's called a distribution from the TSP or the IRA, that would be your taxable, would be a taxable event. But the transfer from the TSP to the IRA is not.
It's called a standard IRA.
Traditional IRA, as opposed to a as opposed to a Roth. You would go from a TSP directly into a traditional IRA, and that would not be a taxable event.
All right, and what entities? I'm ignorant as the day is long in this regard. Who would you suggest?
Yeah, I'd probably roll that to a Charles Schwab or a Fidelity, either one of those, a reputable, very large, high-quality institution, but they're a discount brokerage, so they're not going to, you know, charge you as much as the others, and you'd have just really unlimited access to whatever investments you want to choose at that point, whether that's no-load mutual funds, stocks and bonds, exchange-traded funds. You could really get access to whatever you want, even some of the faith-based investments at that point. Now, keep in mind that beginning this year, the required minimum distribution age increases to 73, whereas it had been 72 in the past. So just factor that into your planning. But I love the qualified charitable distribution, Robert. I think it's a great way for you to get some money into the kingdom without having to recognize that as taxable income, especially if you don't need the money. And once you reach 73, if you're having to take that out as a required minimum. But as to the firms, I think, again, Schwab or Fidelity would be a great choice.
All right. Well, I'm coming up on 72 here, so... but at any rate, do appreciate it. And I guess that one last question.
Yes, sir.
I know that when I first retired that they were urging me to go one way or the other. Should there be, since I've been retired for 3 years plus now, should I meet with any impasse in trying to make this change now?
Well, I think the key is who's going to manage the money once you roll it out. How much do you have in the TSP right now?
83.
Okay. So, you know, the key is once you transfer it out to an IRA, you basically take the blinders off, whereas in the TSP, you had limited investment choices. In the IRA, you're going to have unlimited investment choices. So you've got to decide who's selecting those investments. That's where I think having an advisor to help you manage this and pick the investments for you would be a great option. You could go more of a do-it-yourself, but with some help through our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They'll give you mutual fund suggestions based on your age and goals and objectives, and then you would buy those on your own at a Fidelity or a Schwab. Again, that's soundmindinvesting.org. Or you could hire an advisor to manage it for you, and I would look for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. You could do that on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. You could do a zip code search and find one that's a good fit for you.
The expense of management.
Yeah, it's typically going to be with an $80,000 portfolio, probably around somewhere between 1 and 1.5% a year to have an advisor manage that on your behalf. That would be what you might expect for somebody to take this over for you. Hey, we appreciate your call, sir. All the best to you in this this season of life. I'm sure God has a lot in store for you, but if we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Take care, Robert. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. Hey, let's tackle a couple of emails. We get emails all the time, and if you'd like to send one, we'd love to hear from you to askrob@faithfi.com. We'll try to get it on the air and see if we can get you an answer. This comes from Teresa. She says, Rob, I wanted to open a Roth IRA. Can you recommend a brokerage agency that doesn't charge large fees? Well, I'd probably direct you back to what I just mentioned to Robert. You could try a Fidelity or Schwab. Most of the big brokerage houses now have free trades. If you'd like something, you know, that's definitely got, you know, free across the board, you could look at something like Robinhood. But I'd prefer you stay with one of the big brokerage houses. And that's why I think Fidelity or Schwab would be a great option for you. Victoria writes, what's the best way to pass along savings to my new great-granddaughter? And any more the Lord may bless me with. This wonderful 3-month-old baby has received so much already, and I don't want to go overboard. Should I open a savings account for her? Victoria, let me throw out an idea here. Perhaps you ought to consider a 529 education savings plan for her. This would be a way for you to earmark some funds for college specifically. So maybe mom and dad are setting up a savings account, or, you know, have, you know, her years covered until college, but helping her get a jump start with some compounded growth specifically for college. And it could be then rolled to an IRA if she doesn't use it, or pulled back out if she gets scholarships and grants. But this would be a way for you to get this money invested and imagine this money growing for the next 18 years while she continues to prepare for that season of life. So I would open a 529, and you can determine the best 529 plan, because each state has one, at savingforcollege.com. They'll give you lots of great options there. So savingforcollege.com. Victoria, hopefully that's an idea for you to consider, and congrats on this sweet new great-granddaughter. Hey, folks, one quick item to mention. If you are a stewardship coach or counselor, maybe you work with people in your church, our friend Art Rayner is doing a helpful webinar at 1 Eastern today. It's free, and it'll help you with your discovery session. You can learn more at faithfi.com/CCFC. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Is something missing in your spiritual life since you stopped going to church? Jesus never intended for us to live the Christian life alone. He wants us to be a part of a spiritual family of believers. Maybe you stopped going to church because you got hurt or disillusioned. Maybe you got offended or busy, or maybe sin got a foothold in your life. Perhaps COVID made you stop. Whatever the reason, isn't it time you started going again? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. Maybe one or two more questions we'll get to before the end of the broadcast. If you have a question, you can reach us at 800-525-7000. Well, on Monday mornings, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a frequent contributor in CNBC and Fox Business. And his weekly Dahl's Deliberations is a sought-after market commentary that comes out each week. You can sign up at crossmarkglobal.com. And boy, Bob, a lot to talk about today. You were out with your weekly investment commentary just reflecting on so much economic data out last week. What was the highlight that you might want to start with today?
I think the highlight is the GDP report for the fourth quarter. It showed a robust 2.9% growth, but there's always a but, Rob.
Yeah.
A lot of that was inventory investment, which is a temporary sort of thing, 1.5% of it. So real final sales were up 1.4, which is a little disappointing. So yeah, the headline looked okay, but beneath the surface, our economy is clearly slowing down.
Yeah, no question about it. And yet the market has remained strong through January. And you noted that there's been a real significant noted pivot to more aggressive stocks, huh?
Exactly. Last year, you wanted to own defensive, as we call them, low beta stocks. so far in January, you know, the more aggressive, the better you've done, which is often the case. We've talked about the reversal that often takes place in a new year and this speculative run led by NASDAQ and technology. I say speculative because I don't think it will last, so I'd be trimming some of those names. I mean, the market's up 5% since the December low, 10% since the October low, and the economy is slowing and earnings estimates are coming down. Something wrong with that picture, I think.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, we see all kinds of acronyms whenever we're looking at economic data. One from last week was PCE that has to do with consumer expenditures. And you had an interesting note there about the reading and its indicator possibly being that, well, at least there's a chance this bear market is coming to an end. What were you seeing there?
Yeah, the PCE inflation number is the favorite of the Fed, and it year over year is up 4.4%. That's the lowest we've seen in some time. Fed funds, as you know, are 4.25%, so they're approaching each other. And once that those lines cross, it gives us some hope that we might see at some point the end of the bear market. We started this period, of course, when inflation was much higher, interest rates were a lot lower, and those two are starting to converge.
Yeah, certainly this year is shaping up quite like we thought it would. It's going to be interesting to see how the Fed responds, perhaps not in this next meeting, but maybe in the meetings beyond that. That's really the big question, right?
I think that's right. It's sort of 25 basis points baked in the cake for this week. The Fed chair in his conference will talk about fighting inflation and how they're making some progress, but there's a long way to go. It's the meeting thereafter, I think you're right, Rob, where we begin to see, are they going to pause?
Yeah. Obviously, this week, Bob, all eyes on the earnings that are going to start to pour in, huh?
Yeah, earnings are fast and furious, and they keep coming down, the earnings estimates. In fact, the percentage of companies that have reported positive surprises so far for the fourth quarter is the lowest reading in 10 years, with the exception of one quarter during the pandemic. So the earnings estimates are kind of not up to what analysts had hoped.
Yeah, Bob, interesting that we're seeing comments out today, particularly related to China. I know one of the top Republicans in the House talking about the odds very high of a U.S. military conflict with China by 2025. Boy, we certainly don't want to see that. But if that played out, what impact does that have on us economically? And where are we prepared or ill-prepared for that?
Yeah, it certainly would not be good news geopolitically, and the economic impact would be lack of trade with too many partners, like China, would come under a cloud. And so the market, as we saw when Russia invaded Ukraine a year ago, the market goes down. So, you know, 25 is a long way off, and that's a lot of speculation, but oh my goodness, that would not be good news, Rob. And you wonder, would that be, I hate to sound dramatic, but the two biggest superpowers in the world, would that be a problem? And is that, a world war potential? Not a pretty scene.
No, not at all. We'll certainly be make that a matter of prayer. Well, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. I know it'll be a busy week as always, but we appreciate your commentary, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, folks, a few minutes left in the broadcast today. Perhaps you have a question about managing God's money as it relates to your spending plan, maybe your investments, as you think about your own economy, which is really what matters when we handle God's money. How does that affect us and the money that passes through our hands? How can we be faithful with that? Hold it loosely, give it generously, manage it wisely, live with contentment. That's our objectives. But whatever you're thinking about today financially, we have room for one or two more questions. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about kids, older children, and managing money wisely. How do we prepare them to launch as we think about, these are future adults, and we want to really equip them to not only be financially literate, but to understand God's heart as it relates to managing their money. And, I think one of the big ideas that we need to share with them is this idea of contentment. You know, this is really challenging, especially as they spend a good bit of time staring at a screen as they scroll through social media. They can get caught in what I call the comparison trap, seeing the best version of someone else's life and thinking that they need to try to keep up with the Joneses. They need to have that same, new automobile when they get to that point, or they need to keep up with the latest fashion trends. And I think we need to communicate to them that contentment starts in the heart, that we need to recognize that God provides to us and we need to be responsible in handling that money, living within our means, not accumulating debt. And the contentment is so key, but comparison is the contentment killer. And so I think we need to be reinforcing these ideas, especially with these kids that are spending so much time looking at social media, which can really just impact your heart and cause you to feel like you don't have enough, like you don't measure up. Greed can set in, and we need to help them pursue God's best. Remember, the Apostle Paul said that this idea of contentment is learned, and we need to help them learn that so that whether they have plenty or they're in need, they can say, God's provision is enough. Doesn't mean I can't try to improve or grow that as I work hard and pursue my career and move up in terms of the provision coming into me. But whatever God has provided today is enough, and I need to live within that, and I need to guard against this tendency to want more and think that money and the things that money can buy will fill a void in my life that it was never intended to fill. So perhaps think about how you can communicate that, starting with just conversations around how the things they're watching online make them feel with regard to this idea of contentment, and see if that doesn't open up some really powerful conversations. All right, here in our final moments of the broadcast today, back to the phones, Alabama. Hi, John. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, in light of what was just mentioned about the Fed going up 0.25% this week, if I'm looking to put money in an online high-yield savings account while waiting the next year or two maybe for a down payment on a house with this money, should I wait till they go up 0.25%, or how quickly do banks follow suit? And then just a follow-up question.
Yeah, so to that one, John, no reason to wait, because what's going to happen with these high-yield savings accounts, and I'd look at one of the online savings accounts. You can go to bankrate.com to compare them, or if you just want to look at a few, I'd recommend Ally Bank or Marcus or Capital One 360. What you're going to find is that not only are these free, meaning there's not maintenance fees or any kind of other fees for you to open the account, the high yield automatically adjusts as rates head higher. And so if you have 3.3 today and rates head higher and, it's 3.5 2 weeks from now, it'll just automatically increase for you. So there's no reason for you to hold out, because, those adjustments will affect you with the money that's already been deposited. So you'll just take advantage of that higher rate when it's available.
Okay. And then I have read on bankrate.com, at your direction, a lot of the different banks. And of course, there are those that go up or even to 4.35. Is there a particular reason that you might not recommend them as opposed to those at 3.3 that you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at who it is. And as long as there's FDIC insurance, you don't have to worry about getting your money back in the event of a banking failure in that particular bank, although it's a hassle. I think the key is balancing the customer service and their ability to serve and support you on a timely basis, and an easy to use smartphone app and website, the ability to go to get a quick response if your account was compromised, that they're going to quickly replenish that, and while they're doing their investigations. I mean, there's other things to consider, so that's why I think going with a strong 5-star rated institution at bankrate.com plus an aggressive interest rate, the combination of those two is what I would look for. I wouldn't just look at rate alone. Does that make sense, John?
It sure does. I appreciate that.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Hey, let me just quickly mention again, if you're a stewardship coach, maybe you work in your church or your community, you love helping people pursue God's best in this area of money management, there's a free 20-minute webinar coming up today at 1 Eastern by our good friend Art Rayner, the director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health. It'll help you with your discovery session, that beginning meeting as you're meeting with folks. Learn more at faithfi.com/CCFC. Faithfi.com/CCFC. Thank you so much to Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.